Welcome to The West Steps, a podcast from the Colorado Children's Campaign that explores issues that impact Colorado kids and families. I'm your host, Beza Tedes. I have a very special guest today on The West Steps, and surprise to the guest, it's not staff of the Colorado Children's Campaign, so I'm going to let her introduce herself, and maybe you can tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do.
You bet. That's very kind of you to call me a very special guest. I'm Dr. Sarah Davidon, and I am the Director of Research and Child and Adolescent Strategy at Mental Health Colorado. And for those who might not know Mental Health Colorado, we're the state's advocate in promoting mental health and ending stigma and ensuring that people have equitable access to mental health and substance use treatment. And I've been working on issues related to children's mental health in Colorado for, I hate to admit it, almost 20 years.
Fantastic. That admission.
So I've kind of seen things come and go. Mm-hmm. And most recently, I've been developing an early childhood mental health toolkit and working on early childhood mental health issues.
This is fascinating because I think Coloradans have been in conversation about mental health for a while now. And I was wondering if you can just give us how the mental health needs are different from that of kids, are different than that of from adults, because I think the conversation around mental health is usually built around adults.
Right.
And I was wondering if you can just lay out for us what the difference between those two needs are.
Sure. So, and I think starting with, you know, children's brains are just so different than grown-up brains. Mm-hmm. So children can actually develop some of the same mental health issues that adults have, but it comes out in such different ways than adults. So their symptoms may look very different. It's really hard sometimes particularly with very young children, mm-hmm. to differentiate between like what's just kind of a bad day and what's something that might need a little bit more attention. Mm-hmm. So even under the best of circumstances, I mean, I'm a parent of two kids, mm-hmm. And even like, you know, I'm supposed to know this stuff. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's hard for me to be able to tell the difference between sort of emotions that are kind of consistent with typical development and things that are kind of a cause for concern.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, our early childhood educators spend most of their time with our kids, and we know it's a very demanding job and it requires quite a lot from our educators. I was wondering if you can talk about the type of mental health challenges that they face.
Sure. So if we think about the time that many kids spend in early learning environments, sometimes kids are spending more time there than they are at home. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of working parents. We have families who need that kind of care. And so early learning environments are great opportunities for kids to not just learn about, you know, numbers and words, but also learn about emotions and how to get along with other people, how to get along with other kids and mm-hmm. share and all of those, you know, important social and emotional things. Mm-hmm. So early childhood educators are really, you know, some of the people who have the best opportunity to look at children's day-to-day behavior and sort of look for changes and identify when kids might be sort of showing some signs of mental health struggles. Mm-hmm. So while there are a lot of things that early childhood educators are doing and can do to really strengthen children's social and emotional development, there are also times that as much as they want to help, there's a situation that might require more help than an early educator can provide. And so, a mental health professional, who sort of is experienced in young children, who's mm-hmm. also experienced in mental health issues might be needed. But unfortunately, there's a scarcity of those kinds of people in, Colorado. So I think they're in a tough position where they are the people who spend a lot of time with young children who want to support their social and emotional development. But sometimes there are needs that appear in the classroom that go beyond their, beyond the boundaries of their job. Mm-hmm. So having somebody who can be a support to them, who knows about children's mental health and social emotional development, can be really important. I think it's also important to address early educators' own mental health.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I mean, if we look at the workforce, we have some of the most underpaid people in our state who are in that workforce. So early educators can experience their own mental health challenges like anxiety and depression and some of these things that can impact their lives.
Mm.
So what we've found is that having somebody who can help address both what's happening with the children in the classroom, but also how teachers can respond to that, and teachers sort of own stuff that they're bringing into the classroom, somebody who can help with both of those things has been a really important value added to classrooms. And those people in Colorado are early childhood mental health consultants.
Fascinating. Just before we move on, I just want to talk a little bit more about two things. The first is, you talked about, I think we don't have existing system that is meeting the mental health needs of kids. Do you have any more information about how that plays out? Is it true for all kids, or do some kids have access? What does that look like?
Right. So it depends on what touch point we're looking at in a child's development.
Mm-hmm.
So with young kids, going back to the question you asked earlier about what's the difference between kids' mental health and adults' mental health. So with kids, we have a lot more opportunities to be preventative.
Mm-hmm.
And we really need to have a system that isn't just built on intervention, but it's built on promotion and prevention.
Mm-hmm.
So the workforce, when you look at children's mental health, really is everybody. It's not just a mental health provider, because there are so many things that we can do just in that promotion area around supporting kids' social and emotional development, and making sure that kids have access to opportunities to learn and play and grow with other children. So when we're looking at some of the workforce challenges and the scarcity of the workforce, we need to look at the scarcity not just of the clinical workforce, but of the early childhood workforce overall.
Mm-hmm.
So we need people working with young children who are familiar with sort of how to support social and emotional development, that they have opportunities, early educators, but also, you know, nurse practitioners and pediatricians and sort of all of those people who touch the lives of young children and families have the information that they need to support healthy social and emotional growth.
Yeah.
So even at that end of the spectrum, we're lacking in opportunities. We have some great initiatives going on, particularly in our state, to support social emotional development, but they're not widespread and they're not available across the state.
Yeah.
And then if we look at the clinical needs, so when a child really is identified with a mental health challenge, we have a very limited workforce that has that specific skill set that focuses on young children.
So it's kind of these two camps of resources. Kids need to really thrive. We're having a hard time in that workforce. So that leads me to, what's been done at the state level. Can you talk to us through what solutions are on the table and where you see the efforts of advocates like you and the Children's Campaign are getting involved?
You bet. There's a great opportunity right now. So I mentioned earlier when we were talking about the early educator workforce, these people who are early childhood mental health consultants. So before I get into the specific policies that we're working on, it might be helpful for listeners to understand sort of what this thing is that's early childhood mental health consultation.
Absolutely.
So early childhood mental health consultation has really emerged both nationally and in Colorado as a really effective way to help children and their families increase their social and emotional health, decrease challenging behaviors. And it's defined as kind of a way that mental health professionals who know a lot about early childhood can help teachers and families and programs and systems to prevent, to identify, to treat, and to reduce the impact of mental health problems in young children. So early childhood mental health consultation is a unique model of practice. So it's not like this sort of clinical intervention that we sometimes think of.
Yeah.
It's not like, you know, putting a kid on a couch and doing psychoanalysis.
So you
right? I know people have that picture in their head, so I want to dispel that right now. But instead, it's a role that serves as a consultant to the adults that work with children.
Okay.
So it really helps build the capacity of the teachers in the classroom, center mm-hmm. directors, families, to then work with adults. So if you think about the role of a consultant in like a business,
yeah.
it's not to go do your business for you. It's to consult with the organization to more effectively set up environments that work.
Yeah.
So that's what mental health consultation does.
Yeah. Oh, that's great.
So then getting to the bill, mm-hmm. Colorado has an existing program that's managed by our Colorado Department of Human Services, and it's called the Early Childhood Mental Health Specialist Program. Mm-hmm. So what essentially this is are these specialists, and we have 34 funded positions to cover the entire state. So it's a limited capacity.
We only have a million kids. It's fine.
Right. So do the math there.
Yeah,
I should know that because my dad taught math. But these specialists function across the state as early childhood mental health consultants.
Okay.
So what we know are there are some essential components for an early childhood mental health consultation program to work. So we need solid program infrastructure. We need highly qualified consultants who are doing this work, and we need high quality services. So I don't think those are anything that people would argue sort of make a good program.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we've got a state system mm-hmm. that has never been sort of codified, or meaning put in statute. So essentially, it's just sort of every year it's kind of is there going to be funding for this program? Mm-hmm. So, but we also want to make sure that we have sort of a more formalized program that has accountability.
Yeah.
So House Bill 1006, mm-hmm. which is a bill that actually right over after I'm done, I'm going over there, is a bill that's going to formalize the infrastructure of the Early Childhood Mental Health Specialist Program that the Department of Human Services manages. And it can create sort of a better public understanding of the scope and the practice of specialists. So what the bill does is it's not creating a new program, mm-hmm. but it's formalizing and increasing the quality and the accountability for the existing program.
Would it also guarantee that funding questions that you raised a little bit earlier?
Oh, you know not to use the word guarantee and policy together.
Hey, I'm just
guarantee
asking the hard
funding.
Questions.
Well, excuse me, I've got a cold. What this would do is develop a more accountable infrastructure. Because I think we want to make sure that the public understands what this is and the importance of this program and show some accountability around the program. Mm-hmm. And I think that will really lay a good foundation for expansion of the program.
Okay.
So what the bill is doing is setting that foundation for quality infrastructure and sort of the quality of the services, but also the people who are doing
benefit
this work.
For the public.
Yeah.
I think, you raise some really important reasons as to why people may want to get involved in a bill like this. But I really wanted to just point out a couple of things, and I'm hoping you will add some as to why people should care. Because I think, we rightly or not, we tend to think mental health as being a very private conversation when it's such a public conversation. And I think that, to your point about kids, it's an opportunity for us to be on the prevention side instead of a management side.
Right.
And I think, that even if you are not the touchy-feely person, it's the most, economic-friendly conversation. And I was wondering if you can give us a little bit more information of how people can get involved in this. And then encourage people into an issue that seems really private and that seems to touch everybody, how this can be beneficial when we all get involved.
Right, right. So I would say, even though I'm the research director mm-hmm. at Mental Health Colorado, as one of my many hats I wear over there, data is not enough.
Yeah.
As much data as we can bring to the legislature, as we can give to the public, it's not enough. So I am a big fan of real life stories.
Mm-hmm.
I think that they're a big part of any advocacy strategy. And so typical citizens people in Colorado are the ones who can tell those real life stories. And honestly, I think those are the most impactful, like when people testify at the legislature, which was one of the ways that people could get involved. Those real life stories, what does this look like on the ground, are some of the most important ways that we can tell the story of impact. Mm-hmm. So some of the ways that sort of typical Coloradans can get involved and influence policy change mm-hmm. are providing testimony at the legislature.
Yeah.
There, if you go to the legislative website, I'm sure you're getting all of your mm-hmm. networks, you know, familiar with now that session has started, how yeah. to do that.
Yeah.
They can, you know, be part of the storytelling to help end stigma, to help end some of the discrimination that you're talking about mm-hmm. This is a private issue because people are concerned about talking about it, that yeah. there might be judgment, there might be discrimination, and we need to end that. And people can have direct involvement with, you know, writing letters or, you know, writing letters to the editor of a paper, contacting their legislators, even if it's not providing testimony, mm-hmm. and just getting people in their community organized around the issues. So I think we're very lucky here in Colorado that we have organizations who are passionate about grassroots advocacy. And I think getting citizens involved and helping to kind of motivate and rally the troops, so mm-hmm. to speak, is really important. And so, of course, you all here at the Colorado Children's Campaign have the It's About Kids Network, and at Mental Health Colorado, we have a statewide network of advocates working on mental health and substance use issues called our Brainwave. Mm-hmm. And I think both of those initiatives, if you just go to either of our websites, you can sign up to be a part of our Brainwave right online. And that keeps people up to date, current on what's going on, both at the state legislature during legislative session, but also year round. Mm-hmm. There are issues that happen year round that relate to policy and advocacy that aren't just happening over at the Capitol.
Mm-hmm. Well, I just want to say thank you for making the time for us this morning. I know you have to run over to the state capitol to talk about this specific bill.
I do.
But if you listen to this and you really want to get involved, you can reach out to Sarah, Mental Health Colorado, or email us at the Children's Campaign anytime. And we'll talk to you soon. Thank you so much, Sarah. I have one of my colleagues to help me with some ads, previous guests of the West Steps. Steph.
That's me.
Who's our sponsor this week?
Support for this episode is provided by Effect, a Denver-based digital agency that helps campaigns win elections. Effect supports outstanding candidates and initiatives that are focused on winning their election in order to positively transform communities. Learn more at EFFCT.org.
You want to say that last part again? Where can people go?
EFFCT.org.
That's effect.org. Thank you, Steph.
Thank you.
The West Steps is a production of the Colorado Children's Campaign. To support our work, please visit coloradokids.org. And I'll see you next week.